Broadcasting on the Drug Truth Network, this is Cultural Baggage.
It's not only inhumane, it is really fundamentally un-American.
Hell of war!
Drug war!
Hell of war!
Drug war!
Hell of war!
Drug war!
My name is Dean Becker. I don't condone or encourage the use of any drugs, legal or illegal. I report the unvarnished truth about the pharmaceutical, banking, prison, and judicial nightmare that feeds on eternal drug war. Welcome to this edition of Cultural Baggage. Rode hard and put up wet, continuously beaten into submission like the wife of a two-fifths a day drunk, the American people have become unwilling, uncaring, and unconscious of the abuses of the drug war. Nowhere is this truth more glaring, ugly, and obvious than in the city of Houston, Harris County, Texas, where we lead the world in the incarceration of our own people. Houston has a crime lab that remains an international scandal, having sent thousands of individuals to prison based on the word and authority of technicians who have been thoroughly discredited and fired from their jobs. We have grand juries comprised of friends of the judges and district attorneys. We have a county jail filled to overflowing, rife with infection and disease. Most of all, we have politicians in office who do not care for the truth about the drug war, who are quite content with the process, who dare not look truth in the eye for fear of destroying their careers. Today, we take a special look and listen to the mechanism of the drug war in Houston, Texas, the gulag filling station of planet Earth. This week, I went before Houston City Council to challenge them to examine the evidence, to open their eyes, and to take a look at the abomination they are responsible for. I was not allowed to speak until late in their workday, and nearly half the council members were absent. Mayor Brown, the mayor pro tem, and a couple of others were gathered around a computer screen laughing and joking as I gave the following speech.
My name is Dean Becker. I'm a reporter for the Drug Truth Network. We broadcast to 49 stations in the U.S. and Canada. I'm also a spokesman for law enforcement against prohibition. The drug war began on December 17, 1914, with the passage of the Harrison Narcotics Act, which bypassed centuries of constitutional safeguards and handed the decision over what medicines Americans might use to the medical establishment. This forever forbade the individual from making said choices under penalty of laws crafted by pharmaceutical houses and passed by ignorant politicians based on racial screeds and unscientific non-medical reasoning. None of you are responsible for the ever-changing face of these drug laws, which have been reshaped, renamed, and refortified over the decades to allow for ever-increasing penalties, to include incarceration, loss of voting rights, inability to acquire student loans, government housing, or food stamps, and which ensure drug users arrested for possession of certain flowers or plant extracts can never again be fully assimilated as complete citizens of our nation. The morals of the drug war have been handed down as if they were the Ark of the Covenant from generation to generation, from one politician to the next, handed down to you, ladies and gentlemen. Your current focus, or lack of focus, is responsible for the fact that Houston, Harris County, leads the world in the incarceration of our own people for drug use. Empty bag, empty pipe, small amounts of drugs, it does not matter. In Houston, you will be forced to jail, to a hearing, to a trial, to accept a probation or lesser sentence, to avoid multiple years behind prison bars. The mayor and the council, along with the district attorney, police chief, and sheriff, seem impervious to the fact that we sentence more blacks to prison than did South Africa under racial apartheid. With the expenditure of more than $11 trillion nationwide, the current imprisonment of more than 1 million black Americans, the annual arrest of 1.6 million nonviolent drug users, the sentencing of our young people to more than 100 million man years behind prison bars does not a democracy make. Prohibition is an infinite waste of our public resources. Reforms are underway in various major cities to change the focus, to change the direction of this drug war. In the not too distant future, we will look back at this time in much the same way we currently look back at the time of slavery with disgust and horror. Someday soon, those left holding this bag of prohibition will be seen as great sinners. Feigned ignorance and rope-a-dope politics is not in your long-term career interest.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Miss Curry, keep you out of
the wars of eternity must be kept alive at any cost. The war of terror is the war on drugs with afterburners. Untrustworthy snitches lead to chemical weapons and eternal wars causing endless and needless hardship, disease, and death. The government attack on the evil ones, mostly people of color, purported to possess these weapons of mass destruction, which threaten our very society. Freedoms supposedly fought for are eroded, denied, and held in abeyance till that magical day when all druggies, terrorists, and evil ones are dead, and nobody will ever again use drugs or make a chemical compound not approved by the president. Then we will once again ring the bell of liberty for all.
The Harris County Jail has thousands upon thousands of prisoners, hundreds if not thousands of them sleeping on the cold concrete floor. Their supply of drinking water is to fetch it from the back of the toilet. Over the last week, I've tried to make arrangements to tour the jail facility. I first talked with Lieutenant Taylor, who told me he needed to do a security check on me to assure that I would be safe to come into the facility. He called me back earlier this week to say that I did pass muster in that regard, but that he had talked to Major Brownfield, who is in charge of the facility, and they've decided to no longer allow anyone to tour the jail facility. Long-term listeners to the Drug Truth Network are aware of the name Mr. K., Mr. Tony King, who was sent back to the Harris County Jail for having supposedly 300 nanograms of cocaine in his urine. This is an interview I conducted with Mr. K., who is currently in the Harris County Jail.
It's Mr. K., a field reporter from the Harris County Jail, Harris County Hilton, whatever you want to call it. Been in here since October 18th, revocation violation on my parole. My parole officer said I had a dirty UA. Basically, I just want to report to them know that there's an average of five people sleeping on the floor in every tank. It's A through G on every floor, just in 701. So that's 20 per tank, because there's four pods in each tank. Yesterday they switched me from the third floor, 3B1, up to 5B4. I'm up here. There's a young man that was had some mental problems when I was down on the third floor. They moved him out of the tank after an incident with two officers. They slammed him to the floor, told him to get up on his bunk. I put him on the, he was put on the bunk. I put him above, a bunk above me so I could kind of keep an eye on him. They moved him to the fifth floor, and by chance, I'm up on the fifth floor with him now. The young man's name's John Sweden. My name, if y'all need to know, for the record, my name's Tony King. I'm not shy. I'm not scared to say my name now. I've been Mr. K for a long time, but things have got to a point now that people need to understand that Harris County Jail is out of control. There's, like I said, an average just in 701, the building I'm in. From my estimation, there's about 1,000 overcrowded. The guys are telling me it takes right at 3 days to get up here to a floor. They sleep on the concrete. They're fed peanut butter and jelly graham cracker bar, along with two pieces of bologna. So not, there's enough nitrates in it. They don't even have to refrigerate it, to be honest with you, for it to have a shelf life. And two pieces of bread. They're not given any kind of a cup or anything like that to drink out of. You drink out of the faucets on the back of the toilets, which are filthy because they never clean them, downstairs in the basement on intake. And up here, we pretty much keep the tanks clean ourselves. We keep them clean. We take care of everything ourselves. I'm locked up in a tank with a lot of guys that have been to prison before and been locked up, so they understand that we need to try to keep things clean. The tanks, the air ducts, the return air grills, the exhaust for a living, they're filthy. If there's a lot of people in here get sick, takes forever to get to medical. And when you get to medical, they give you about a 10-day supply of medication, and it costs you $3 instead of giving you a 30-day supply, which they've done to me twice already since I've been in here. They've got people coming through from to the tanks now. Seems like they're under their gun because they, you know, so many people that need to come in. Beth Mitchell, she was in the December 1st city and state to let people know that she has not been allowed access. And I'm here to tell you she should be allowed unprecedented access to take care of the people that are incarcerated in here that have mental health and mental retardation problems and issues, because they're not taken care of. There are people in here that have major medical problems that are not addressed on a regular basis. You go down, just for minor medical things, you go downstairs at 2 o'clock in the morning and wait to see the dentist, and they come up about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they pull two teeth. They give you some gauze, they give you a couple of ibuprofen, they tell you to go on, and they're done. That's just 12 hours just to get, you know, a couple of teeth pulled. And, you know, other people that have other medical problems, that's about the average. You're sitting down there from anywhere from 10 to 12 hours. You might catch a meal while you're down there. If you don't get down there at the right time, you're not going to get fed. And if you don't get fed, it doesn't matter, because the guards could really care less whether you eat or not.
Well, Tony, I tried to arrange a visit to tour the facilities, talk to the lieutenant and then the major, and they told me that they decided they're no longer going to allow any tours of the facilities by anybody.
I guess not, because they're so crowded. They want people to see what's going on. Because if people knew the kind of conditions that we live in here, because we're all locked up in here together, you're not allowed any movement whatsoever. The tanks are designed for 24 people. The average is 31, anywhere from 31 to 33. I had a bump from October 21st when I finally did get to a floor. On the 22nd, I had a bump, and then, you know, all the way up until yesterday, and now I'm supposed to, by all rights, according to what was told to me, I'm supposed to come home on December 26th because of this technical violation, you know. But I'm sleeping on the floor again because they moved me to another floor. If I wasn't able to give someone something to get a bunk or to get a mat, I'd be sleeping on a mat right now. Just lay out a sack of potatoes, lay it out on the floor, lay down on it, spend the night on it, and see how you feel in the morning. Now, I'm 51 years old, and I got a bad disc in my back. I'm not whining, but I'm tell you right now, they're deplorable, the conditions in here for people. And I don't care if you're young, you're old, or what. They throw us all in together. They throw the Bloods and the Crips in the middle with a bunch of everyone else. And there's a whole lot of gangs in here.
Well, Tony, the Major Brownfields, I think the gentleman who heads up the whole jail facility, told me that they wouldn't allow me in for security reasons following that escape of that murderer a couple of weeks back.
Crock.
Well, and again, they ran a background check on me. They determined that I was not a security risk, and yelled them. I said, the Fourth Estate, the press deserves the right to observe what's going on, and they told me it's just not going
to
happen.
No, because they have to go out and do their jobs. Then these guards have to actually do what they're supposed to do. Everyone has to see what's going on. They've got floors. They've got two floors in here they don't even utilize, yet we're sleeping on the floor. And they've got jailers in here to run this jail. These sheriffs don't have to be in here running this jail. Most of us are not violent criminals. Most of us, I'd say 90% or better of the people that are in the tanks that I've been in, and I've been in two since I've been in here, I've been here since October 18th, are for drug crimes. Anywhere from less than a gram to, I was in the tank with one guy that he got caught with a kilo. He was from Mississippi, and he's still locked up in here. He's fighting it. The feds are going to indict him, and they're going to take him from him. But he's still stuck here in Harris County Jail. But they let you out right after midnight so they can get the extra $200 for another day's worth of pay. Now, they're not feeding you. They pull you out before last chow in the afternoon. When you get called ATW, that means all the way. That means you're going home. They pull you out before last chow, so they fed you two meals. The first meal is 4 o'clock in the morning, a bag and a carton of milk. Usually it's a bag of cereal. It's an apple juice. Then lunch consists of, I have a cholesterol diet that I finally started getting again. They discontinued because they forgot. And I get a chicken patty with some rice. I get some green beans. I get apple juice, and I get a carton of milk, or I get a Kool-Aid pack that I can make a 6-ounce drink of Kool-Aid with. And that's 2 meals out of it. And then the third meal, if like I said, if you're going home, the third meal is just like lunch. There's not much to it. It's not going to fill a grown man up. Really wouldn't fill up a teenager. But I'm sure they've got some kind of nutrition guideline. But they're not spending $10 a day to feed every inmate in here. The inmates do all the cooking. The inmates hand out all the trays. They pick up all the trash. They do everything else. These guards sit in the pickets, and they monitor movement. That's all. And if they don't want you to do something, you're not going to do it, period. Hands down, bar none. They're not going to do any more than they have to. Like, as long as I don't have rank come in and bother me, I'm neither you. But if I have rank come in and bother me, because of you, I'm going to bother you.
Well,
so,
to the medical facilities, the medical care.
Go ahead.
You said that there are people there with severe mental problems who are not getting any attention.
Yes, sir.
Are there no representatives from the Harris County Medical group that come in to tend to people?
I don't know. I haven't seen anybody since I've been there, and I've been there since October 18th. Now, John Sweden, after the incident and after medical coming to check him out because the guard grabbed him from behind and slammed him on the concrete, they checked him out. They found out and realized, I've seen papers on him when he was downstairs. He's got yellow slips when he's mentally unstable. And instead of them taking care of him and putting him in a facility where he could be monitored and taken care of, they put him in the tank along with everyone else. If it wasn't for people like myself and other older guys that would help take care of him, these younger guys would take his food, would take anything from him they want, and there's really nothing he can do about it. And he's not mentally competent to understand half of what they do in the first place to him. And yet he's stuck in the general population just like the rest of us in the facility. I mean, he's not even in 1200 Baker Street over where it's a medical building. They should get medication on a regular basis. He's supposed to be on medication. And they know this. They still don't do it.
You mentioned they let you out immediately after midnight so they can collect money for that day.
Right, for the next day.
And so they're doing that for you. They're going to let you out immediately once Christmas is over.
Right, yeah. That's basically, yeah, that's what I'm told. I'm told my out date is 26. Now, if they have a Christmas kick out like they do sometimes, and I've heard of it, but I've never experienced it, then I'll get out sometime in the weekend of Christmas. Now, I'm supposed to do 60 days ISF, but my 60-day ISF, I'll be honest with you, I come in October 18th, 60 days will be December 16th. That'll be this Friday. But it's not from the time I got locked up. It's from my disposition date, the date that the parole board voted on it, which would be the 26th of October from the information I've gathered. And that means 60 days from that day will be December 26th. That's the day I'm supposed to be released. I'll leave right after midnight, and they'll get paid $200 for that day, the 26th, and yet they didn't do anything to me or for me or feed me, or they didn't pay a sheriff to work anything for me or do anything for it. It's just another $200 that they get from the taxpayers per inmate.
Per inmate. And I went before the Houston City Council yesterday and told them about the fact that we lead the world here in Harris County in locking up people for minor amounts of drugs. How many people in there have been to trial?
Out of incarcerated in here, I would say 96% of them either serve time in here for a paraphernalia charge, which is anywhere from 30 days to 6 months county time. Most of them do anywhere from 3 months to 12 months state jail. There's some that go to TDC, probably about 5% of the people that I've encountered and run across since I've been here. But out of all those, maybe 3 out of every person I've encountered since I've been in here, which has probably been a little over 250 people I've talked to since I've been here, because I do move around and talk to all the different races and creeds of people and walks of life and different, you know, lifestyles and stuff. And maybe three of them have actually been, are planning to take a case to trial. And those are for people that have a lot of drugs, that have the money in order to be able to provide legal counsel for themselves. There's guys in here that have been sentenced to 10 years for paraphernalia charges. And there's guys in here that I've talked to that their brothers have been sentenced to 3 years for murder. So, you know, there's no norm to the system. It's whatever between the assistant DA and the court-appointed attorneys, which most of them have, can bargain to get you to accept as a plea bargain to lock you up. It'd be nice like having a Holiday Inn and you could keep it full, because the supply and demand, you create the supply and the demand, is always there. So you're constantly full. It's unreal. This whole fiasco is unreal. It's a joke, and it's a play on people's lives and their livelihoods. Hopefully, I'll have a job when I get out, because I do a good job of the work that I do. But I've not got any way of talking to my employer. I've got not any way of talking to the people that I work with. I really don't have any way of being in contact with my family, because most people, SBC, once you hit a certain amount of money that you spend on the collect calls to your home, they block your phone until you can put cash up. You have to put cash up for them to allow you to make collect phone calls to your own home. Now, I've had the same phone number since 1964.
Well, and let's talk about that fact, that there are corporations who benefit greatly, greatly, millions of dollars from this situation by charging exorbitant fees for this phone calls, like the very one we're having here.
Right. Absolutely. SBC. Let's talk about commerce. Known fact. It's a $3.2 billion a year business. They make that much money. Now, the coffee that I bought when I was in TDC, it's Keefe Coffee.
You have 1 minute left to talk.
Okay, I've got a minute. It's Keefe Coffee, and it's $1.55 in TDC. In here, it's the same bag of coffee. It's $4 for a bag of coffee. That's unreal.
Tony, wrap it up any way you want, my friend.
It's price gouging. This place is Looney Tunes. The state needs to come in with the federal government and come in with employees and come in here and make these sheriffs get out there on the streets and do an actual legitimate job to protect the citizens that need to be protected. But I don't think drugs is the crime. I don't think that the things that they're incarcerating people for and the way they're handling their business is on the up and up in any way. If you want to talk about a system gone bad, this is a system at its worst.
You have 15 seconds left to talk.
To check it out. And I appreciate your time. Thank you for everything you do. And keep faith up. I guess I'll let you go, Dean. I'm done.
All right, my friend.
Next week, I'm scheduled to speak to the Harris County judge and the Harris County commissioners about this very subject. We'll see if they can make arrangements for me to tour the jail facility.
It's time to play Name That Drug by Its Side Effects.
Chest pain, fever, gastroenteritis, rectal hemorrhage, vaginal hemorrhage, ulcerative stomatitis, pancreatitis, pneumonia, amnesia, decreased libido, neuropathy, deafness, thrombocytopenia, paralysis, and slow death. Time's up. You should have gotten this one. It's the world's number one selling drug to cut down on cholesterol. Lipitor, another FDA-approved product.
Drug czar of the Americas, John Walters.
High-potency marijuana ought not to be considered as a marijuana was in the past. It ought to be considered another new drug.
The drug czar sees light at the end of the tunnel, but it's the headlight of an oncoming train. On December 7th, the San Francisco Chronicle reported a press leak from the government office about an upcoming report on the Colombian drug war. According to the Chronicle, the report was skeptical of the statistics the government relied on for its upbeat assessments, calling its information on cocaine production and use problematic. The GAO took the Drug Control Office to task for failing to improve its illicit drug data collection and analysis procedures and of previous recommendations. It reportedly criticizes the Drug Czar's office for its recent news release on cocaine prices and purity, as well as ONDCP's assessment of the amount of cocaine entering the U.S. Importantly, the GAO reportedly notes that while the number of U.S. cocaine users is supposedly holding steady at 2 million, other sources estimate the number of chronic and occasional cocaine users may be as high as 6 million. Those higher, more realistic estimates are important to keep in mind when considering the impact of inevitable drug legalization. Currently, when people are surveyed about illegal drug use, many of us lie. The worse the stigma attached to the drug, the more likely people are to lie about it. When the added stigma of criminal prohibition is finally lifted, use estimates will move closer to reality. The truth in those numbers will be shocking. For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh, editor of DrugWarFacts.org.
Poppygate, bizarre news about the U.S. policy on controlling heroin, featuring Glenn Greenway.
In 2005, U.S.-occupied Afghanistan produced 6.5 times more heroin than the rest of the world combined. Total production estimated at 1 million pounds. The United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime said this week that Afghan poppy cultivation will likely rise in 2006. Dismayed by the UN's prediction, Afghanistan's drug czar promises that next year's poppy eradication campaign will be more forceful and comprehensive. The economy of Afghanistan's Nangarhar province, the centerpiece of this year's eradication effort, has collapsed. Destitute farmers induced to not plant poppy this year by what they now see as empty promises of aid have recently formed a mutual defense front against upcoming eradication efforts. The chief of Darga village is quoted, "Every tribe is committed to fight. There will be 100% cultivation," end quote. NATO's supreme allied commander announced this week that drugs and not the Taliban are the number one problem in Afghanistan. However, new plans for an expanding NATO role in Afghanistan notably do not include poppy eradication. This is Glenn Greenway reporting for the Drug Truth Network.
This past week, 13 medical marijuana clubs were busted in the city of San Diego, California. And here to speak on that subject is our guest for next week, world-renowned San Francisco attorney Tony Serra.
One of the greatest disgraces, from the point of view of general public, has just occurred prior to this marijuana bust, and that is Republican Congressman Cunningham's pleading of guilty to extreme corruption and bribery, and all of the contracts that he gave based on bribery. It is disgusting. You know, another culture would have taken him out and hung him. And what is the government response to this infamy? You know, let's call it the executive branch. They raid 13 pot clubs. They don't go after, I guess they're giving some lip service of going after the lobbyists and the contractors, that all benefited from this corruption and, for going after the various strata that surrounded and aided and embedded. No. What they do to divert, and, I'm political, and so I'm always cynical. The timing here is suggestive of a nexus. They raid 13 pot clubs. Well, God damn them.
The following message is brought to you by the U.S. Ministry of Homeland Security.
Never forget fear
and hatred
or lies
or deception.
Big Brother says the war of terror will last forever. Merry Christmas.
My dear friends, please don't be a cow. And as always, I remind you, because of drug prohibition, you don't know what's in that bag. So please, be careful.
To the Drug Truth Network listeners around the world, on behalf of engineer Philip Guffey, this is Dean Becker for Cultural Baggage and the Unvarnished Truth. The show produced at the Pacifica Studios of KPFT, Houston.
Tap dancing on the edge of cannabis.